Chapter 6 The old, aged valley town of Haddon felt almost as busy as the streets of New York. The cobblestones were smooth and flat from years of footfalls, and the tightly packed together buildings looked like they'd stood tall for decades, despite being mostly made from wood with long, winding vines that crawled across the surface like veins beneath the skin. Amber directed me toward a sprawling market square, where scraggly, bearded merchants called out to customers and old friends alike. Young lads tried to hawk their wares at grossly exaggerated prices to any out-of-towners unlucky enough to be caught in conversation with them, and I spotted a very busy brothel on the far side of the square. It had rich velvet drapes hung from the roof on either side, and the place was covered in baskets of fresh flowers, probably to try and disguise the fact it was as plain and as weathered a building as any other in the town. A gaggle of prostitutes with corsets so tight the curve of their breasts almost touched their chins gathered outside the two-story building, and they giggled loudly and called out various lewd remarks when I caught their eyes and waved from across the market square. Then I had to bite down on the smirk on my face when I heard Amber's huff in my mind.
As tempting as it might be,
Amber started in a strained voice.
They're as infectious as the plague.
I don't doubt it, I murmured under my breath as I weaved through the masses of people that milled around the square. Besides, you're the only one that's mine.
That's right,
Amber agreed in a much happier tone.
I am.
She continued to mutter random facts and little anecdotes that she could remember of the city as I wandered through the streets, and I did my best not to stare too obviously like a tourist. It was like nothing I'd ever seen before in my life, except in movies or video games. It was literally an awesome fantasy world. And if it hadn't been for the fact Amber had traveled back to my world with me through the weird golden portal in the closet, I'd have thought I was crazy. But it was all very real. A very particular smell hung low in the air, a mixture of sweet beer, horse stables, and old oiled leather, and the scent clung to every single passerby like a medieval cologne. I could feel the light autumnal breeze that blew through the marketplace, and it picked up the scents of a small corner bakery on the east side of the market, as well as a very slight hint of salt, which could have been coming from the coast somewhere out in the distance. Everything I saw and heard and felt was as real as I was, and though it probably should have frightened me, if anything, it excited me. I'd lived in the coolest place on earth for my entire life, and yet somehow I'd stumbled across something even cooler.
What are you thinking about?
Amber suddenly asked in a soft voice, and I jumped a little when she interrupted my thoughts again. Just how I wish you were here in person, so you could show me around, I muttered under my breath as I continued to walk through the bustling market square.
One day,
Amber sighed heavily,
we need to figure out why I'm cursed to this weapon form and how to fix it.
I promise you, we'll figure it out, I told her sincerely, and I found myself absently running my open palm across the tight bowstring that laid across my chest.
I know,
she replied, and I could hear the smile in her voice. It's a shame you don't remember much about being human, I sighed.
Believe me, I wish I did,
Amber mumbled, and I could hear the slight annoyance in her voice in my mind.
I remember odd little things, like how my old master used to drink whiskey as though it were water, and the way his voice sounded like he had a blocked nose all the time. But it's like there's a mental block. I can't quite grasp the full memories.
It's okay, I told her and smiled. We'll figure it all out together, okay?
Okay,
the redhead said happily.
But for now, let's get you that beer, shall we?
Amber directed me the best she could through the heaving marketplace, and I eventually found myself in a long alleyway where the wooden buildings on either side were so old and bent together that they blocked out most of the sky, like how ancient forest trees instinctively joined together at the branches to form a canopy. The madness of the market gave way to an almost eerie emptiness, and my sneakers slapped against the smooth cobblestones as I walked. Then I suddenly realized just how drastically alien I must have looked to the locals. I was still dressed in a plain black t-shirt, a pair of gray jeans, and black canvas sneakers. And if it hadn't been for Amber's bow form strapped across my chest, I probably would have been stared at far more. Although the few faces that did peer curiously out of the thin windows of the buildings above me proved my theory. I think you're going to need to take me shopping, too, I muttered under my breath to Amber as I fiddled with the hem of my t-shirt.
Oops, I never even thought about how you were dressed.
Amber giggled.
The tavern will be fine, though. There'd always be out-of-towners in odd attire there.
Okay, but I definitely do need a change of clothes at some point. I replied in a low voice as I quickly made my way through the stone alley.
Sure.
Amber agreed.
But that means I'll need some new clothes for your world, too.
I'll take you shopping once we get back. I grinned as I finally reached the end of the alley. Okay, which way do I go now?
Take a right.
My red-headed weapon woman immediately commanded.
Just a few paces and it'll be on the corner to your right, or so I remember.
I followed her instructions, and I heard the noise from the tavern before I actually saw it. Raucous was an understatement. It was a huge two-story building on a street corner right beside a large stone bridge that hung over the river I was now familiar with. The building was wooden, but painted a dull, dark red color, so it looked as though it had been burned from within where the paint peeled away in certain places. The windows were covered in wrought iron lattices that made a diamond pattern against the glass, and two massive street lamps stood sentry on either side of a double doorway, with oil burning brightly inside them. Several tapestries and colorful flags were draped from the windows of the tavern, so it almost looked as though the hulking building was covered in a patchwork blanket. I spotted a grumpy-looking black tomcat as he sulked around the front of the bar, and he looked like he was keeping a watchful eye on passerby from where he sat curled up beside the stone stairs that led to the entrance. Above the double doors, which were also colored a deep burgundy red, though the paint was in far better condition than the rest of the place, hung a sign that creaked slowly in the breeze. It had the impressive image of a battered and bleeding two-headed snake painted right onto the wood.
The Bleeding Hydra?
Amber sighed happily in my head.
Oh, it's been so long. I wonder if Lily is still working here.
Who's Lily? I smirked at the female name.
Lily was one of the barmaids.
Amber suddenly sighed.
That's one of the strongest memories I have. Lily serving my master his whiskey. I remember her more than I do him.
Well, if she's still here, I'll go and find out for you. I grinned as I approached the bar. It'd probably do me good to name drop someone, so I don't stick out like even more of a sore thumb than I already do. I pushed open the heavy red doors and slowly walked inside of the tavern. My immediate first impression was that it was fucking loud. The place was packed to the absolute rafters, and nobody paid me a scrap of attention as the door swung shut behind me. It was dimly lit, with just candlelight to illuminate the place, although most of it came from a huge wooden candelabra that dangled in the center of the tavern, and it had huge wax candles with naked flames sitting in wrought iron sconces. Every table in the place also had a bunch of white candles melted straight onto the wood, and it was a wonder the tavern wasn't actually burning down as I stood there. The bar itself was tucked away behind a mountain of beer kegs, and I started to make a beeline for it when I heard Amber's voice in my head.
Don't just go right up to the bar,
she giggled.
They'll think you're propositioning. Go find a table, a barmaid will get to you.
Yes, ma'am, I muttered under my breath, and I fought to keep the smile on my face from being too obvious. There was a long catwalk over the entirety of the back wall, where patrons were piled up on chairs, tables, and hanging over the banisters they yelled and chatted amongst themselves, but I eventually found a table beneath the catwalk and beside a makeshift stage, which in reality was just a few pallets of wood nailed together, but a musician had just jumped on top of them and was clasping a lute like it was a weapon of mass destruction. His mess of perfectly curled brown hair hung loose around his shoulders, and he was dressed in a lilac-covered velvet jacket with intricate patterns and gold thread, ridiculously tight leather trousers, and mud-stained boots.
Loving patrons of the Bleeding Hydra, it's been far too long!
The bard called out in a thunderous voice, and the occupants of the tavern hollered and whooped as they realized a show was about to begin.
This'll be good,
Amber commented in my mind.
I think this is Leonardo. He apparently has the voice of an angel.
I took the opportunity to sink onto a low chair at a small single table relatively close to the side of the so-called stage, because I figured the rowdiness of the bard's performance would drown out the potential of anyone overhearing the fact I was basically talking to myself. You've seen him before? I asked quietly.
No, I hadn't left the forest in years,
Amber reminded me.
But I'd heard some traveling merchants talking about him when they used the stream to gather water.
So you really just laid in wait listening to the world walk by? I shook my head. I'm glad I found you.
I'm glad you did too.
Amber said softly, and then she giggled.
Look to your left. I think we've got a barmaid on her way.
Amber was right. I glanced over my shoulder and a curvy woman dressed in a white cotton dress with a leather corset, as well as a long apron tied around her waist, weaved her way through the chaos to get to me.
Hello, stranger,
she said in a loud, welcoming voice.
What'll it be?
Beer? I hedged my bets with my answer and breathed a quiet sigh of relief when she nodded.
One beer coming up.
She bustled off and I exhaled.
Good job,
Amber told me.
You almost sounded normal.
Hey, I chided her jokingly. I fit in perfectly. I don't know what you mean. Was that Lily?
No.
Amber giggled.
She was older than that, even back then.
I just listened to Amber's laugh in the back of my mind as the curvy waitress returned with a huge tankard of beer, with thick white foam almost spilling over the sides. Thank you, I told her with a grin. Hey, do you know a Lily?
Lily?
The barmaid frowned down at me in confusion and put her hands on her wide hips.
Lily was the old owner, lad. She's been dead for close to a decade.
Oh. I bit my lip and nodded. I'm sorry. Thank you anyway. The barmaid stared at me strangely but bustled off back toward the group of men with straggly hair and missing teeth, who were sitting across from me and loudly singing along to whatever song Leonardo the Bard was playing. I'm sorry, Amber, I said softly. She was your friend, huh?
Yes,
Amber whispered.
She was. At least in my mind. You'd have liked her.
Do you remember anything else? I asked her curiously. What about when you were human?
Not much.
Amber admitted with a sigh.
It gets kind of hazy. I guess because it's been so long. I think I remember my mom's laugh, though.
Yeah, my mom also has a pretty distinctive laugh. I grinned into my tankard of beer as I took a sip. Maybe you could meet her one day.
I'd really like that.
Amber said softly. And I could almost hear the bashful smile in her voice. And you didn't have any other family at all? I prompted eagerly as I took another glug of my drink and kept the tankard up to my mouth so no one would see me talking to myself. I don't have any brothers or sisters. It's just me and my mom.
I had no one.
Amber murmured softly.
No one to come looking for me when I got cursed with being trapped inside of a bow, at least.
We'll figure out how to change you back. I promised her again in a low voice. I'll get your life back. I swear it.
Thank you.
Amber mumbled and then she cleared her metaphorical throat.
It's okay, honestly. Let's just watch Leonardo.
I spent the next hour or so people watching in the bleeding hydra as the curly-haired bard serenaded the patrons with a number of crowd-pleasers. There was one song about the baron's wife that gained a particularly rowdy sing-along, as well as a heartfelt ballad about a lost love that had several tough bearded farmers sobbing into their tankards of mead. Eventually, the buxom barmaid wandered back over to me to settle my tab, but I had no actual currency to pay with. Will this do? I asked and pulled out the small pouch of gold I'd made sure to stuff into my pocket before Amber and I traveled back through the portal. I didn't want her to know exactly how much gold I had, so I fished one of the smaller nuggets out of the faded velvet pouch and held it up for the barmaid to inspect.
Oh my stars, where did you get that?
The barmaid gasped as I twisted the gold between my fingers so it glowed in the candlelight.
I haven't seen real gold in years. Most of these old louts just paying silver coins.
I slayed a troll in the river, I said with a slight grin.
By the gods, listen up, everyone!
The barmaid waved her hands and even shushed Leonardo the bard.
Shh! This lad says he's killed the river troll!
No way!
One of the half-drunk farmers scoffed and stroked his beard.
We sent scores of people to fell that thing, and none of them could even draw blood.
I promise you I did. I nodded eagerly, and I swung Amber's bow off of my back. I pierced him right through the head with this.
I recognize that patch of gold,
another farmer suddenly piped up.
I saw it on the troll's belt.
See? I said with a smug smirk.
They're gonna love you.
Amber piped up in a happy voice. Almost everyone in the tavern gathered around my table to hear the tale of how I'd won against the troll, and the barmaid pushed the gold nugget back into my hands when I tried to hand her a piece to pay for my beer.
No, no, it's on the house, lad,
she said in an excited voice as she wrapped her arms around my shoulders, and I tried my best to ignore the soft flesh of her cleavage where it rested against my head.
You need to go and see the Baron!
Yeah, go to the Baron!
Another called out.
If you really have killed that thing, the Baron has a reward for it.
A young lad exclaimed with a toothy grin. A reward, huh? Where do I find the Baron? I asked as I pocketed my pouch again. I wanted to earn as much gold as I could from this world, and eventually get it into my bank account. And if there were rewards for slaying mythical creatures, I wanted in.
He lives on the castle on the hill,
the barmaid said as she poured me another beer, and I noticed how this time she made a conscious effort to make eye contact with me as her breasts threatened to spill out of her corset.
Just north of here.
Thanks. I smiled genially and kept my expression as neutral as possible as she slowly poured me a beer from the large metal pitcher in her hands.
You make sure you get that reward, lad,
one of the farmers said with a firm nod.
You've done us all a great service.
It was my pleasure, I replied with a smile. The patrons all took turns to slap me on the back or examine the pouch of gold, until eventually the barmaid shooed them all away so I could finally leave the tavern and head toward the Baron's castle. We can't stay long, I said to Amber as I crossed through the town.
Yeah, it's getting a little late,
Amber agreed.
I want to get back into my human form and sleep beside you.
Believe me, I want that too. I couldn't stop the grin that pulled at my face as I remembered the night before. As awesome as this portal world was, my real life was still happening outside. Although time didn't seem to move as quickly in this alternate universe, I still needed to get some sleep and actually go to some of my classes, which were due to start pretty soon. I let my mind wander as I trudged through the town of Haddon. The entire place was paved with smooth cobblestones, and the further I got from the market and the Bleeding Hydra Tavern, the more residential it became. I walked through the streets and saw maybe just one or two random little stores, with the rest of the rickety old wooden buildings being homes belonging to the townsfolk. As we came to the outskirts of the town, where the river that rumbled below hadn't started to become wider, and the claustrophobic buildings became a little more sparse and spread out, we spotted the Baron's castle. It was situated on the highest point of the hill Haddon was built on, and it was a monstrous hunk of stone that overlooked the town like an ancient hulking sentinel. Two tall spires clawed their way into the sky on either side, and the silhouette looked like the building had devil horns. Have you heard of this, Baron? I asked Amber as I followed the stone path that led up the hill.
I don't think so,
Amber admitted.
It's been so long since I've had my human form, it could very well be a totally different person to who I remember.
I murmured. Well, let's go find out. I followed the path up to the front gate, which was a massive double-door structure with gargoyles standing guard on either side, as well as two real-life guards who held spears and shields and scowled at me as I approached.
Who goes there?
The taller one on the left called out. I had to stop myself from snickering because, come on, they really actually said that?
What business do you have here, lad?
The other guard asked, and he glared over a bristly mustache that completely hid his upper lip. I'm here to see the Baron, I explained. My name is James Miller.
Your name could be the same as the Baron's. That doesn't mean you're getting into this castle.
The tall guard laughed loudly and used his elbow to nudge his colleague. The mustachioed guard didn't even move, nor did he take his beady little eyes off of me as the taller one continued to scoff. I have a good reason. I shrugged casually and folded my arms across my chest. But if you turn me away and I take my business elsewhere, I'd love to be a fly on the wall when your Baron finds out it was you who cost him my services. The two guards shared a look, and then eventually fixed me with another identical mean stare.
What makes you think the Baron will grant you an audience?
The mustachioed man asked bluntly.
Show him the gold,
Amber suddenly said in a smug voice.
They'll definitely want to take you to the Baron.
I did as I was told and pulled the small pouch out of my pocket, and then I took the handful of little gold nuggets out into the palm of my hand for them to see. Both of the guards audibly gulped, and the taller one of the two even leaned forward past his shield to peer at the rocks in my hand.
Gold,
he murmured in awe and looked at me with round eyes.
Real gold?
You want me to bite it? I snickered.
How did you come by this?
The mustachioed guard demanded. I slayed the troll in the river a good couple of miles north, out toward the forest. I shrugged. I figured it was my winnings. The guards shared a glance, and another smirk pulled at the corners of my mouth as I pocketed my pouch of gold while they had a wordless conversation. We must disarm you before you go before the Baron. One of the guards finally grunted as he nodded at my bow. Then I'll just take my business elsewhere, I said, because there was no way in hell I was handing Amber over to someone, and I started to turn away.
Wait, we'll take you.
The taller guard called out, and when I turned back to face him, he motioned with his spear.
Follow us.
I dutifully trudged after the two guards as they led me into the Baron's castle. As much as it looked cold and uninviting from the outside, the interior was luxurious as hell. Every floor surface was covered in thick, red velvet rugs, with delicate silver thread that made intricate patterns in the material. Every couple of feet, huge silver candelabras hung from the ceiling, on chunky iron bars, and the large waxy candles washed the stone walls with warm light. I could smell something really fucking good being cooked somewhere in the belly of the castle, and I vaguely recognized the smell of bacon, and figured there was almost definitely a pig crackling cheerfully on a spit, either in a courtyard or a kitchen. We didn't pass anyone else as the guards led me through the depths of the castle, and not a word was shared by the three of us until the two guards came to an abrupt halt outside two gigantic wooden doors. With intricate runes carved right into the surface, and huge polished silver handles shaped like eagle wings.
Do not speak unless spoken to,
the mustachioed guard commanded.
Be respectful. You do not have a pre-approved audience, and you will act as such.
Yes, sir. I saluted jokingly and fought to wipe the automatic smile off my face out of fear the guard would backhand me. He seemed temperamental. He shoved a shoulder against the heavy wooden door, and it eventually swooped open with a soft whoosh against the stone floor. Then he jerked his head forward to tell me to follow him. The main hall was grand and obnoxiously big. A huge red carpet, the same style as the ones that lined the corridors, was laid against the entirety of the floor. Several marble planters bigger than the hood of a car housed exotic-looking succulents and flowers. And the far end of the hall had two gigantic floor-to-ceiling windows. The windows had large panels of colorful stained glass that sent a kaleidoscope of colors across the great hall, and I could see they depicted different scenes, like one with a shepherd and a herd of fluffy white sheep, as well as one that looked suspiciously like the Bleeding Hydra Tavern.
Sire!
The taller of the two guards called out as we approached the Baron. Between the two huge windows was an equally massive wooden chair, which I guess I'd be forced to call a throne. It was obnoxiously tall, and I realized the back was shaped exactly like the castle, with two tall spires that must have reached at least 8 feet into the air. They were joined with a thick silver chain, with a chicken-egg-sized purple gemstone glittering in the center, and it was coated in the same luxurious red velvet as everywhere else in the castle.
Now, forgive me if I'm wrong.
A syrupy voice called out as we approached.
But I was unaware of any guests today.
Apologies, sire.
The mustachioed guard said stiffly as we finally stopped a few feet away from where the throne and its occupants sat.
But this lad here is gold.
The Baron studied me with hard eyes for a moment. It was hard to tell whether he was young or old particularly, because he had a shrewd expression and studious brown eyes that looked like they'd seen a fair amount of bullshit. But his facial hair was barely a wisp, and the blonde hair on his head was soft, thick and fluffy like a golden retriever.
Gold?
The Baron asked with a sharply raised eyebrow.
You, a no-name traveler, have gold. I don't appreciate lies filtering through my home and my town.
It's true, the tall guard said. He can show you.
Approach, boy,
the Baron said as he fixed me with an intense stare, and I tried not to let the word boy rile me as much as I knew he wanted it to. I quickly stepped around the two guards and stood in front of the Baron, where he remained sprawled out on his huge wooden throne with a leg half dangling off one of the arms.
Show me this gold,
he commanded in a lazy voice. I fixed him with steady eyes, instead of keeping my gaze averted, and I pulled out the small pouch I'd taken from the loincloth belt of the river troll. I shook the nuggets out into the palm of my hand, and then I extended my arm so the Baron could see what I was holding. He looked for a long moment, with his expression unchanging, and then all of a sudden he erupted in a guffaw of a laugh that echoed around the great hall.
By the gods!
The Baron chuckled.
You really felled a troll, boy.
Well, if the great big grey carcass on the bank of the river about 2 miles due west of here is anything to go by, I said as I pocketed my gold once again, and then looked up at the Baron with a smirk, then yes, I did kill a troll.
Using just that bow and arrow?
The Baron asked as he nodded to the weapon on my back.
I'm not just any bow.
Amber whispered in my mind, and I had to really focus on not bursting out into laughter at her words. Yes, I used the bow and arrow. I nodded and allowed a smile to form on my face at the look of sheer childlike excitement on the Baron's features. I found this pouch of gold on his belt. I took it as my due for slaying him.
You're getting pretty good at speaking like the locals.
Amber commented innocently, and I knew she was trying to get me to laugh again, so I had to bite the inside of my cheek.
As is your right.
The Baron nodded thoughtfully.
What is your name?
He claims to be called James Miller, sire.
The tall guard stepped in to confirm what I would have said myself, and I just shot him a questioning look. The Baron noticed too, and he sniffed at the two guards.
Gentlemen, if the two of you are still here, who is guarding the main entrance to my home?
The Baron's words were sickly sweet and said in a calming voice, but the two guards immediately paled. They scurried off after giving hasty salutes, and the fluffy-haired ruler of Haddon studied me from his throne.
James Miller.
He mused and then chuckled.
A strange name for a strange man dressed so oddly, too. Where are you from, Sir Miller?
From a settlement called Brooklyn, I explained, and I smirked as I used Amber's own word for the New York borough I'd called my home since I was little. This is how we dress there.
I have not heard of a place called Brooklyn.
The Baron frowned.
Why haven't I heard of Brooklyn?
We're a new township, newly forged, quite some distance away. I smiled awkwardly at the sharp-eyed Baron and shrugged. I traveled a good while to reach your wonderful town, and I've taken up residence in the shack in the forest to the east.
And so what is your purpose here exactly?
The Baron asked quickly. To help, and pledge Brooklyn's allegiance with your township, I said. I hope we have proven my worth by slaying the river troll without any, prior request or expectation of reward. My years of playing fantasy video games and watching the extended cuts of the Lord of the Rings trilogy paid off massively and allowed me the ability to speak like I was from Amber's world. I just knew she was snickering away to herself in my head, but I kept my eyes focused on the Baron in case he saw through my ruse. Instead, he nodded thoughtfully and huffed.
You have most certainly proven your worth and valor, boy,
the Baron said with a wry smile.
Lo, now that you have irrevocably and silently agreed to work upon my bequest.
Your grace? I asked with a frown, and this time I really did catch Amber's stifled giggle in the back of my mind.
You will work for me,
he explained haughtily, and waved a hand with an unnecessary amount of flourish.
You will be rewarded, of course, for all further quests fulfilled.
But not this one? I raised an eyebrow.
Is the troll's gold not enough for you?
The Baron countered. I didn't want to upset my potential patron, so I let it go for now. Besides, the gold I'd gotten from the troll had already fetched me a pretty sum back in the real world, and I still had a few nuggets left. As long as I'm getting paid, I replied with a shrug, then I'd be more than happy to, be under your employ.
Then it's settled!
The Baron grinned, and his boyish excitement immediately returned as soon as I'd agreed to do what he wanted.
I will send for some of the townspeople to clear the troll's carcass, but for now, I already have another quest in mind for you.
Oh, yeah? I said eagerly. Lay it on me.
It shan't be laid on you at all, boy.
The Baron chuckled in confusion.
By the gods, I don't think anyone could bear to stand near a wyvern, let alone sleep beside one.
A wyvern? I repeated quickly. Like a dragon?
Not so fantastical, the Baron scoffed. But yes, a wyvern. It's been running rampant in the hills on the other side of town, and the foul beast has taken out a healthy chunk of livestock, as well as some unfortunate children.
Jeez, I whistled. Okay, Wyvern, got it. I'll need to prepare for this quest, if that's okay with His Excellence.
Understandable. The Baron allowed with a firm nod. You will set off at dawn?
Yes, sire. I agreed, and let myself fall into a quick half-bow. At your bequest, like you said.
I look forward to seeing how much assistance you can provide the town of Hatton, Sir James Miller.
The Baron sniffed.
I have a mind to send you into the dungeon beneath the hill, but we shall see how you fare against the Wyvern nest first. Return to me once you have slain the beast.
With that, the Baron simply waved another hand and stared off into the distance, and I took that as my dismissal. My interest had immediately piqued at the Baron's mention of the dungeon. Did he mean my dungeon? With the portal and the caved-in tunnel that led who knows where? I couldn't think of many other dungeons in the hills he could have been referring to, and I made a mental note to clear the rocks one day so I could fully explore. I hurried out of the Great Hall and followed the same path out of the castle as the one the guards had ushered me in by.
You did so good!
Amber exclaimed as soon as I'd made it past the iron gates. Thanks, I chuckled breathlessly. Am I like a bounty hunter now?
So it would seem.
My red-headed woman giggled in my mind.
But don't worry, I'll help you.
Thank God for that, I laughed. I feel like I'm going to need all the help I can get. Let's head back through the portal. I want the internet and I want a real bed to sleep in.
And I want to be in my human form so I can join you.
Amber added, and once again I could hear the grin in her voice. I walked the couple of miles back to the forest and up into the trees toward the wooden cabin that housed my portal's dungeon. It was remote enough to remain undisturbed, but close enough to the town that the trip could be made within an hour. Although the sun had started to dip low in the sky by the time the forest trees ended up blocking it completely. It made the light fall breeze that little bit colder, and I felt the beginnings of goosebumps start to prickle up the back of my arms as I headed toward the wooden cabin. Hopefully, it's not too late by the time we get back through. I sighed as I hauled the door open and then shoved it closed again, and I grunted as the door scraped against the floor and carved little welts into the old wood. I need to figure out exactly how time passes out here.
Is it really noticeably different?
Amber asked curiously as I heaved the hatches open away from the dungeon entrance so I could descend the spiral stone staircase. Yeah, I mean, when I first fell back through, Aaron was battering my door down for us to go to that frat party. I reminded her, so let's see how late it is, shall we? I opened the closet door to the familiar glow of the golden portal, and I took a breath before taking a step through it. The same weird pull at my navel yanked me bodily through the back of the closet, and then in the blink of an eye, I stumbled back into my college dorm room. I was getting used to the sensation now, and I landed on my feet and even managed to catch Amber as she toppled off my back.
Thank you.
She giggled and then immediately leaned into me.
Hello.
Hi. I smiled down at her as I wound my arms around her waist. I missed you.
I missed you too.
She breathed as she wound a hand up into my hair. I leaned down to kiss her slowly, and I relished in the taste of her as she moaned quietly into my mouth. I could see outside my window that night had fallen because it was dark and relatively quiet, as quiet as Brooklyn ever got, and I figured New York was an hour or two ahead of Hatton, as far as time zones went, but I let the thought slip away since I was far too caught up in the taste of Amber's lips as I kissed her. We somehow managed to wake up early enough for me to stumble my way to one of my classes, and Amber agreed to wait for me in my dorm room while I sat through a production 101 lecture and made notes in my cell phone because I hadn't brought anything else with me. I kept myself slumped at the back of class and didn't make eye contact with the professor, though I did notice Brad, the dickhead frat boy who'd come on to Amber at the party, was in the same class as me, and I couldn't help but eye roll at that particular development. Still, at least I had some form of entertainment when the professor inevitably asked Brad something about using a spectrum analyzer to check the energy at different frequencies, and he stuttered like a nervous schoolgirl. By the time I finally made it back to my dorm room, Amber had rearranged most of my things out of sheer boredom, and she looked up at me like a proud puppy dog when I stepped through the door. Toothpaste with the pens? I chuckled as I scooped the tube up from my desk.
They're all the cylindrical things,
Amber said, as if her reasoning was totally fair, which I guessed it kind of was. We spent that night together and did our best not to completely wear each other out until we eventually woke the next morning tangled up in each other's arms. Amber chose to accompany me to class again, even though her beautiful pale eyes had glazed over, and she looked about as bored as I would feel. But thankfully, class went by quickly, and I did my best to ignore Brad as I quickly hurried back to my dorm room with Amber's hand in mine.
Hey!
Aaron called out as I passed his room, and he slung his guitar around his neck.
You hermit, I haven't seen you properly since the party.
Sorry, I sighed as I leaned against his open doorframe. Had a lot going on.
You mean Amber?
I heard Honey snicker before I saw her, and I leaned around the door to see her slouched on Aaron's bed playing with a baseball. She flashed a wink at the redhead beside me, and Amber giggled and blushed. Now how on earth did you come to that conclusion? I asked Honey innocently.
Because I'm not deaf? I can hear her screaming your name all night long as you give her the D.
Honey rolled her eyes and stuck out her tongue, and I quickly left the two of my friends discussing my sexual habits as I darted back toward my bedroom with a wide smirk on my face.
Ready?
Amber asked with a smile as we stood in front of my open closet again. If I've got you with me, then yes. I grinned down at her and squeezed her hand. I pulled the redhead toward me and into a quick kiss, and she leaned into me with a contented sigh. Okay, I breathed as I reluctantly pulled away from her eager mouth. Wyvern, let's do this. We let ourselves get yanked through the golden shimmer and through the otherworldly portal into Amber's dimension, and I landed solidly on my feet this time.
You're getting good at this,
Amber commented in my mind, and I adjusted the beautiful wooden bow on my back with a chuckle. Thanks. I grinned as I skimmed my fingers across the bowstring. I think I'm starting to feel at home here.
I knew you would,
Amber giggled.
You're a natural.
I did my now usual routine and clambered up from the dungeon and into the wood cabin. I ensured I closed the heavy wooden shutters over the entrance to the stone staircase. As soon as I broke free of the thick forest trees, I immediately noticed a change. The Baron had told me that the Wyvern was spotted due east of the town, on the opposing hills, and when I looked across the horizon, I could now see a huge spire of shimmering gold, the same sort of glow as the portal in the closet, that reached up into the sky and dissipated into the clouds. It was like a homing beacon, an X marks the spot of sorts, and I realized my theory of a video game world was now all but confirmed. The Baron had given me my first quest, after I'd passed the River Troll training, and so now I had a HUD to lead me there. Are you seeing this? I asked Amber as I pointed at the gold tower shimmering in the distance.
I see it,
Amber murmured.
Though I've never seen anything like it.
I have, I replied with a chuckle, but in digital fantasy worlds that are made for fun.
That doesn't sound like fun at all,
Amber said in confusion. It is, I promise, I grinned. But now I get to live it for real. This is so cool. I glanced down at the awesome skill tree tattoo that had appeared on the back of my left hand the moment I'd first stepped through the golden portal in the back of my closet. There still weren't any skills on them, and I wondered how I would acquire them. Were there trainers in this world, or did I have to unlock them by killing monsters? I couldn't wait to find out. Let's go find these wyverns, I said. I want to see if slaying them adds to this tattoo at all.
Good idea,
Amber said approvingly.
It's a standard for us that the more you battle, the better you become.
Sounds like a much simpler way around things. I chuckled as I set off toward the shining gold beacon on the horizon. In my world, it's mainly money that gives power.
That's silly,
Amber scoffed.
Money can't buy strength or intelligence or courage.
You're absolutely right. I agreed with the vehement redhead, and I couldn't help but chuckle at her response. I'd grown up not necessarily poor, but definitely not well off. And my mom had always done her best to make sure I was cared for. Especially after my dad died. But now, I'd found myself in a world where money wasn't everything, and I could even smuggle a whole bunch back through the weird portal in my closet and buy myself some cool shit. I made the trek over the river and into the forests on the other side of the water, and I made sure I kept my eyes up and followed the huge spire of molten gold that invaded the skyline.
There are bones.
Amber's voice was quiet in my mind, even though she didn't have a mouth to hush herself. Where? I asked quickly.
To our right,
Amber mumbled.
They're burned.
She was right. There was a small pile of bones on a black circle in the grass, and they were so broken, blackened and charred that it was hard to tell whether they'd belonged to livestock or human beings. We're getting close, I sighed, and I pulled Amber's bow off my back so I had it ready in my left hand. Hey, What do you know about wyverns?
Not a lot.
Amber admitted in a voice that gave away her fear.
Flies like a bird, has a tongue like a viper, and screeches like a banshee.
And spits fire like a flamethrower, if those bones were anything to go by. I huffed as we continued on further up the hill. Awesome.
Be careful.
Amber murmured as I pushed further up the hill. The Baron said one wyvern. I reasoned. We can handle that. As if on cue, the moment the words left my lips, I heard the banshee shriek Amber had mentioned. Except it wasn't just one. I peered around a huge oak tree and finally saw the wyvern nest, and I suddenly felt my throat tighten. There was ash and charcoal everywhere, and it stained the grass of the small clearing a dirty shade of gray. A giant nest sat in the center, made up of huge broken twigs and charred bones, but it was the creatures huddled together in the middle that made fear start to prickle at the base of my spine. Creatures, plural, because three huge wyverns all turned their heads in unison when they sensed my presence. Shit, I muttered.